Amnon and Absalom. And we have the trifecta of crimes: rape, incest, and murder. Principal characters: Amnon. Who was Amnon? David's son. More specifically, his oldest son. He was potentially expected to be the next in line for king. So that put that in perspective, because that's going to be important with what we're looking at here. Jonadab. Who's Jonadab? If you're getting your Bibles open, it's 2 Samuel chapter 23. He was what? He was a friend, yes. Lousy friend. And not only a friend, he was actually Amnon's cousin. He was the son of David's brother. So his cousin he's hanging out with. Who's Tamar? David's daughter from a different wife. Not the same mother as Amnon. Who's Absalom? David's son, also Tamar's brother, full blood brother. Okay, so who's older, Absalom or Tamar? Absalom is. Good. You're making good. I'm giving you 50-50 chances out there, so that's going to be easier. And David, I don't need to ask you who he is. Hopefully you all know. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting with verse 1. Is it 23 I'm in? I'm sorry, 13. I put the wrong thing in there. I was looking at a different thing. 2 Samuel 13, so ignore that. There. 2 Samuel chapter 13. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So we know the just talked about Amnon's the older, Tamar's the younger. We read these words, but let's start putting faces. Let's start putting people in here, envision what's happening here, because it makes the story look a lot different than just reading the words. Verse 2, Amnon was distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. Was so distressed. And for she was a virgin. How old is Tamar? 13, you're a good guess there. He said 13 or 14. She is of marrying age, which 14 or 15 is one author is what I read as far as that's concerned. So she could be very young. Is that unusual for us to think about someone that young getting married? No, yes. No, not in this country. In the past, today, yes. But you go back 100-something years ago when we lived in more of an agrarian farming society and women were married very young.
In Alabama.
In Alabama. Now, I'm not throwing any states out there. Okay. So we think, let's put this envisionment of this beautiful young lady, maybe 14, 15 years old, on the face of this Tamar. In verse 2, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. All right, what does that tell you right there? What should that have told Amnon? He knew it was improper, so what? Just forget about it. Yeah, you just used the magic word right there that this whole thing is. Amnon is lusting. To the point it made him sick. Verse 3, here's where his good buddy and cousin comes into play. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. How many of you would love to be known as crafty?
No.
No. In this correlation, you see how crafty and how this man Jonadab thinks. I wouldn't want him near me or my family or anything else. He's conniving. I would use that word more than crafty. And he said, here's what you do, Amnon. Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Yeah, so he was so sick he couldn't eat. Will you not tell me? So he noticed something's wrong with Amnon. And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Interesting. Why did he not call her, I love Tamar, my sister? It's easier to dis... Well, he called Absalom his brother. This is my brother Absalom. It's a distancing. I can't think of her as a sister, so I'll just think of her as Absalom's sister. So therefore, it gives a little bit more distance in his mind. So he's trying to think this thing out to get what he wants. So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. Well, did he have to pretend much? Because he says he really was sick and he lost weight. Because even Jonadab noticed he had lost a lot of weight, got thinner. So he said, pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand. Was this an unusual request? No, not really. Family members took care of one another. Do you also envision, and make sure you understand, is Amnon in his father's house? He's got a separate house. We know that because later on we find out Absalom has a separate house. They don't live in the same building necessarily or whatever as David. You envision this kind of thing. Sometimes they're all in the same household kind of situation. They're in the same city. It may be connected. I don't know for sure. But when we see where Absalom describes Tamar being brought into his house, there's a description of ownership. And here we find Absalom in his bed. Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come. Now he refers to her as sister, because he's talking to dad. All right? Uses that correlation there. Is Amnon stupid? No, he's crafty himself. He's conniving. Let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight. I say, make me a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar, being a good daughter, went to her brother Amnon's house and he was lying down. And she took flour, she went through all the process, made this bread, took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. What does that tell you? There were other people nearby, either in the room, in the house. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the witnesses. So no one could be, it'll only be a he said, she said. And they all went out from him. Well, they obeyed him. He was in charge. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. Well, he was already laying in his bed, because that's where he was faking being sick. And Tamar took the cakes, which she didn't think anything about it, and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. And now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. Her answer, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. What do you see in the image of Tamar? Do you think she has or feels like she has any way out? Is she going to be able to strength-wise get out of it?
No.
No. She's not as strong as Amnon. Amnon, a full-grown man. Tamar, a young girl.
She has to run.
And she can't even do that because he's already taken hold of her. And there was no mace back then. No pepper spray. What? Yeah. He's laying down in the bed. Harder to pull that move. And she goes on, and listen to her comments that she makes. And I, where could I take my shame? She knows what he wants. Pure and simple, she knows what he wants. So she's trying to approach and talk to him and tell him how bad this could be. First off, she starts off and says, this shouldn't be done. It's not done in Israel. This is not, in other words, she's saying it's against the law. Absolutely. Do not do this disgraceful thing. How does she describe this act?
Disgraceful.
It wasn't making love. No, it was a disgraceful thing. She goes on and says, now she's looking at it personal. Now where could I take my shame? If you do this to me, you're bringing great shame on her. As for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. So he taught. She's doing everything. Look at her words. She's doing everything she can to try to talk her way out of it. She's trying to use reason. She's trying to use common sense. But then doesn't do any good because he is so filled with lust that there's nothing else in his mind except what he wants. He wants what he wants. She even says, please, now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. You ever think about what those words mean? What? She's thinking of the fact that ask the king, he'll let you marry me. Okay, and that was done many times in those days, absolutely. And that's, she's looking at, don't take me by force without marrying me first. I mean, that is one thing, then I'll give it to you willingly, but through marriage. But here, she's trying to do everything she can to save herself. She tries to, what's that?
Consensual rape.
It's not even consensual. She doesn't. This is just rape. Verse 14, however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Immediately after the act, how does Amnon feel? He hated her. He hated her, not just hate, he hated her exceedingly. God puts these words in the Bible for a purpose. That's a huge lot of hate. From someone who is an object of pure lust, and you think, and in his mind, love. Go back to, what is it, the beginning of the chapter? How does he describe? Verse 4. I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Back in verse 1, Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And now he hates her. Hates her exceedingly. So that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. Bang, bang. One extreme to the other. I can't imagine. I've never gone in that kind of, I mean, I'm glad. I don't have that kind of a feeling to go from one emotion to another that instantly. Yes, Judy. Absolutely. She is a sign of his sin and his weakness. A weakness he could not control. He had the power. God gave him the power, but he did not use the control. Absolutely. As we look back from the very beginning, that very first class, when God told Cain, you're angry, but you can control it. That's every situation. That's a great power for us to realize. God, from the beginning, when he knew we were going to get angry, he said, we can control it. We have the power to control that. We have the power to control our emotions. And we need to make sure we practice that power. We need to make sure we work on that if we need it in whatever area. Verse 15, and Amnon said to her, arise and be gone. I'm done. Go away. And she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. This attitude of him dismissing her as just a piece of garbage now is his attitude towards her and wants her away from him. I should point out, she's a reminder. As long as she's there, she's a reminder that he's got enough sense now that he knows he did something wrong. Before, he was clouded, his judgment. Now he knows he did something wrong, and he doesn't want to be reminded of it. He would not listen to her. Then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her." From being the woman he loved, how does he refer to her now? This woman. I never had sex with this woman, that woman. Heard that quotation? Someone who was an object of desire, and that's, those of you who don't know, our former President Clinton, that was the quote that he gave for which he was found guilty of perjury. That's making a statement. That's someone who was an object of desire that was, again, down to that woman is what he referred to. Just as Amnon calls her, this woman. It's a way of dehumanizing the other individual. Can't even say their name. Don't even want to say their name. Now that she had a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel, and his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you?" Think Amnon knew? Absalom knew? He probably knew Amnon. They were half-brothers. They've been around a lot. Don't think Absalom ever liked him anyway. Find out how little he liked him here real soon. And I know that in this situation, he automatically knew what was wrong with his sister. This is big brother trying to take care of and watch over little sister. I've seen that happen in our family. Big brother want to watch over little sister. They may be the ones to pick on them, but nobody else is allowed to. In this situation, Absalom knew something was wrong. And he told her, "But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Here we know Absalom had his own house separate. What was the big problem with Tamar being raped in that society in that time? Was she a marriageable person then? No. Nobody would want to marry her. And in that day and time, what was one of the greatest joys of a woman to have was what?
Virginity.
Her virginity, but to eventually be married and have children. If she can't get married, she's not going to have any children. Or be taken care of by anybody. Yes. So we find that Tamar was just desolate and felt hopeless. But her brother wasn't going to let anything else happen to her. Verse 21. "For when King David heard all these things, he was very angry." So, that's the extent. You think David got the whole story and knew exactly what occurred? Yeah. Yeah, David should have felt very guilty because he's the one who sent Tamar in there. What were the seeds to the crime? Good. Lust and power. He knew he had physical power and political power over her, being the oldest, the potential king in waiting. Peer pressure. Good old cousin Jonadab helped him out, didn't he? Gave him the plot and the way to take care of this sin. No, absolutely not. Arrogance? Amnon arrogant? Yep. And here's this interesting. No fear of punishment. You get that from Amnon? Why? No, even more than that. Think back. The chapter, what's that? Yeah, well, not only that, the chapter right before this one, what took place? David and Bathsheba. Amnon's old enough to know and see all this taking place. He knows his dad's sin. He knows his dad's not going to say anything to him for a little indiscretion. His dad committed murder and adultery.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Absolutely. But monkey see, monkey do is what Joe here said. Yes. No, not necessarily. For the eventual, what? For David, the baby died. Yes, absolutely. That was not punishment. Yeah, God punished him in that way. Do we always get our physical punishment on this earth for the things we do wrong?
No.
No. In that particular case, that was an object lesson to make sure David knew, as well as everybody around knew, because David's sins were forgiven by God, but the consequences of his sin were still going to be in effect, which is why the baby died. And we find the situations here. And we'll look at that in just a second as far as that. Let's go on through the rest of the, again, this is chapter 13, quickly. Absalom. Verse 22, Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. 2 years later, that's a lot of hate, isn't it? He carried that hate for 2 years. You think it got greater as the time went on? Oh, absolutely. He just built. And it was all set up. I'm not going to go through and read each thing here, but he set it up so that he was putting on this big feast and asked King David to have Amnon and all the king's sons come to this big feast he was having. And Absalom had his men in waiting. He said, when he said it's such time, says, jump on and kill Amnon. Is Absalom the one who killed Amnon? Not with his hand, but he ordered it. That's like saying, did David kill Bathsheba's husband? No. He was killed by the enemy, but he set it up in such a way that he was going to die. Same thing here. Absalom is ultimately responsible for this death because the men under him they felt like they had to do what he said, and Absalom was in charge. Absalom did not kill all the rest of the king's sons, let them go, and they went running back. Absalom committed murder. What were the seeds to his crime? Anger. Uncontrolled anger. Inability, it seems, on his part, because he let it fester and build for 2 years. You ever know by anybody that's been that angry, that's held a grudge and been that angry for that long? Yeah. Saying, yep. That's a sad person, isn't it? Because that grudge and that anger is going to take hold of that person and stay in their lives, and it's blocking them from going directions they need, more positive directions they need to be in. Anger to David. Think Absalom was mad at Dad? Absolutely. Because Dad didn't do anything. If David had punished Amnon, do you think that would have weathered some of the anger? Probably would have. It may have dissipated some of Absalom's anger to see a proper punishment. We'll look at that in just a second. Don't jump ahead of me. And the interesting thing here, premeditation. He worked on this for 2 years. This was premeditated murder, the ultimate premeditated murder. Legal system in effect. We're going to look at the two. We're not going to look at murder. We've looked at that before. Was rape a crime during the patriarchal age? You think so? Give examples. City of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those men wanted to rape the visitors that were there with Lot. They were evil. The kind of situation, Dinah was considered by some to have possibly been raped by Shechem. Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. That was one of the stories here, but I skipped over that one. But just that's another one you can go back and read and understand. So there's examples of things that took place, and it's not acceptable. What about under the Mosaic Age? Was it a crime? Yes. Under what? What did we just get through? What were the six? The six things that God put and said, put to death? Was one adultery? Immorality, fornication? Did Moses mind having fornicators around him in the camp back then? No. Especially when they were doing that with the evil ones in the land that they were around. Was it Phinehas who went through and took a javelin and jammed it through a man and a woman who were doing in the act in a tent blatantly? And by doing so, Phinehas saved a majority. He kept God's anger back. And God praised Phinehas for his zealousness to do God's will. First century, as well as coming into this age here, rape is not acceptable. It is a crime. Does it occur? Yes. We'll look at a couple situations about that in a minute. Is rape a sin? Yes, because it's a crime, it automatically makes it a sin. And even if it were not a crime by legal system around here, it would be against God's law, which has its own rules relating to fornication. Was incest a crime during the patriarchal age?
Well, what's incest? Because they have sisters.
No, it was not. Abraham was married to his half-sister. Go back before that. How was this earth going to be populated if incest was against the rules? No, it was not the problem at that time. That's right, there wouldn't be anybody here. Adam and Eve would have just their own bunch of kids, and that's it. It would have stopped right then. And then Noah, his kids, well, still, there's the relation. What about under Mosaic law? Was incest a crime? Absolutely. Deuteronomy chapter 27, most of that chapter, but specific verse 22, that's the chapter that talks about the pronouncement of the curses. But going back before that, in Leviticus chapter 18, most of that verse talks about, it's not only saying that incest is a crime, it says looking on the nakedness of a family member is wrong. So if looking at them naked is wrong, definitely any other form of incest is definitely out the window. First century, absolutely. What family in that first century, what a group of people that were leaders in the early part of that first century were considered because of incest to have had madness in them? The Caesar family, the Herod, the Herodian line had incest that took place. Isn't that what John the Baptist kind of got lost his head over? Because he spoke honest and upfront about. It was not acceptable. Is incest a sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. Punishment. Amnon. No punishment from David, which was part of the major problem. Eventually murdered by Absalom for his act. Absalom's punishment. No punishment shown, but he put himself in self-imposed exile at this point in time, which then leads, next week we'll have a class that talks a little bit more about Absalom on another crime he committed besides murder. He was a regular good old criminal here. The crime now. Date rape. This is a perfect example of date rape. Bring a girl into your home for something honest and upfront, and then rape her. Now, the men have the ability to use drugs to make them so passive they don't know what's going on. Familial rape. took place then, takes place today. They say the example, some of the statistics I was reading talks about, most people when they think about that is the father raping the daughter. Says the examples, and that gets reported more often than a brother or stepbrother relationship raping a sister. But they say the psychological damage on that when it's a peer is greater than it when it is the father. And that's based on statistics of psychologists, and they're dealing with individuals who suffered from these crimes who have actually reported it. And those individuals, as they grow up and they become adults, they are so messed up and they have so many problems within their lives.
They're anything but normal men.
Yes. This was interesting. Incest is not illegal in all countries. I pulled up a little bit. Again, internet's great for pulling up different information. And now you're probably thinking, oh, okay, it's got to be these countries that are real backwater places. Incest is not illegal in France. In Iceland, incest between adults is illegal and punishable. Yes. I'm trying to look at the ones real quick here where it says it's not. Portugal, it's legal. Netherlands, it's legal. Sweden, it's legal. These are what we think of as intelligent people. What's that?
Is it on the books as a whole?
There's just no law against it.
But I mean, nobody ever does that kind of thing, and it's just there. Or not?
No. It is just says it is legal, which means it's okay to do it. Yes. In Sweden, it says half siblings may marry from the age of 16 if they receive permission from the county administrative board. Yeah. In this situation, do you know of anybody who's ever married a relative? I do. Went to college with, I knew both the guy and the girl. They were second cousins, which is the distance that's acceptable. And I looked at the laws. Every state in the United States has a law against marrying this incest aspect. And it's very specific as far as how far it goes. Some states are more specific. Some states go to the point of even step relationships, which means there's no blood relation between those, but they will mention and say that's not acceptable. A stepbrother, stepsister.
That's why Martha Spender had so much deafness, actually. Because of intermarriage.
Yes. And the intermarriages, whatever the reason for doing that, God made these reasons. At the beginning, there was purity in our genetic makeup. But as time went on, the solar, the things that take place in our bodies that changed us, that intermarrying, and God knew that that was going to be the effect. God stopped it with His laws. Lessons for us. Uncontrolled lust leads to disaster. Uncontrolled. Where's the one place that lust is okay? In the marriage. It can be uncontrolled in the marriage all you want. Inside, that's right, inside the marriage only. Close, right there. What? Lust?
Yeah, I always thought that was a negative term.
No.
That's generic?
No, lust. Lust is a word of how you feel. It's a feeling, it's an attitude.
Right.
It sometimes is, but that's just a feeling. Inconsistent and arbitrary parental discipline equals problems. Teach and practice self-control. We need to be teaching our children that from day one. We need to teach one another and help one another to get that. Sorry to rush through all this today. We didn't get in here enough. Thank you very much.